Welcome to Counter Apologetics.
Welcome to Counter Apologetics. I'm your host, Emerson Green, and today we'll be discussing faith. My first real step towards atheism was thinking about faith, and the question of how do we know what we know still seems profound to me. What are reliable ways of knowing? Take a claim or a belief you hold, how do you know that? And one religious answer to this important question is to have faith. Faith is a proposed foundation for belief. And the idea that you can know something just by believing it harder would strike me as funny if it didn't pass for wisdom in religious circles. Listener of the show, Sam Hall, wrote in and said, "Just finished your episode on prayer. From my own experience talking with Christians as someone who left the church a few years ago, I'm getting frustrated with faith as a response. So although we can disprove the power of prayer, Christians still play their faith trump card, and I'm not sure how to respond when I give them arguments and evidence, and they tell me to just have faith." When religious people use this, they're saying that faith is how they know the conclusions they've reached are sound. But faith is not a solid foundation for belief, and it's not a reliable means to information. Faith in the New Testament is clearly depicted as a valid way of knowing something.
Chapter 11. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen.
And I love what Matt Dillahunty has to say about this verse. His video on faith is linked in the show notes.
It's the areas where faith is used as a justification for belief that we get into a little bit of stickiness. Because even as a Christian, when I would go to the Bible and take a look at Hebrews 11:1, where faith is, for lack of a better term, defined or explained, faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. The second part of the verse, where it says that faith is the evidence of things not seen, there it's a little more clear. There, faith is being used as the proof. Faith is the evidence. As if the confidence that you have in a proposition is, in fact, the evidence for the proposition.
Believers often seem to think that their confidence and subjective certainty that they're right is somehow evidence that they're right. Like the fact that they're sure should be persuasive to us somehow. But of course you can be sincerely wrong, and there are fundamentalists of other religions who are just as sure as you are. I'm not in doubt of the certainty felt by the hijackers on 9/11, and neither should you. This is one of the many serious problems with faith. Faith can be used to come to opposite conclusions about the same thing. You can use faith to reach mutually incompatible ideas. It can be used in service of any belief ever that has been conceived of. And there's no way of distinguishing between different faiths. One person has faith in Allah, another has faith in Yahweh. How do we distinguish which one is right? If they want to reserve appeals to faith for their beliefs and say that it can't be used to justify any other religion or any other belief, then they're engaging in some form of special pleading.
Pointing out to them that if they are going to be intellectually honest, if they are going to evaluate claims based on this faith model that they are using for their religion, this would put them in the position of believing anything. And if something can be used as a justification for everything, then it shouldn't be used as a justification for anything.
Sam Harris has drawn a useful analogy. Imagine that your neighbor is excitedly telling you that they've discovered that there is a diamond the size of a refrigerator buried in their backyard. When they sense your skepticism, they say, "No, you don't understand. This belief has given my life meaning. It's completely changed my life. And I have no depression or anxiety after I learned there was a diamond buried in my backyard." You remain unconvinced, and they say, "Well, you can believe what you want. But I wouldn't want to live in a universe where there wasn't a diamond buried in my backyard the size of a refrigerator." This analogy is drawn as a reductio ad absurdum to the common religious defense that it's true because it makes me happy, or it's true because of its positive effects. But it can be useful when discussing faith as well. Imagine the neighbor says that their knowledge of the buried diamond is due to their immense faith and unshakable subjective certainty that it's there. If faith is a legitimate way of knowing something, someone could use faith to justify this belief. Occasionally you'll get the response, "No, that's blind faith you're talking about. My faith isn't blind, it's based on reason and evidence." This can be frustrating to hear because they're clearly equivocating on the word faith. If your belief is based on reason and evidence, then just provide the reason and evidence. Why call that faith? That's obviously not the conversation we were just having. And this is also an annoying response because we all know how faith is actually used in practice. You're in an argument with a believer, you're winning the argument, and they respond with, "You just need to have faith." The faith-blind faith distinction, at least as far as epistemology is concerned, is a distinction without a difference. This is not the only equivocation believers engage in during the faith conversation. "I don't have enough faith to be an atheist" is a meme that has been circulating for a while now. Sometimes it applies to something in nature we supposedly can't explain, like something in biology or cosmology. And we only accept certain scientific models of reality because there's evidence to support them. If new evidence arises that changes that, I will happily change my mind. But the more interesting side of the argument is when believers want to say that we have faith that the brakes in our cars will work, that our planes will fly, or that when we arrive at a stoplight, red still means stop and green still means go. And I wouldn't consider this faith. I only believe that the brakes in my car work because I've pressed them a million times and they always stop the car. Even if they didn't once or twice, the overwhelming majority of times, they still did, and when they didn't, we knew why. If my brakes had the same track record of success that prayer has, I would not trust them at all. The reason I believe all those things that I mentioned is not because of faith, but induction. The principle of induction underlies most of the sciences. It's simply the idea that we can extrapolate how things behaved in the past from the way things behave now. From a small set of observations, we can derive some general fact about how the universe probably, though not certainly, works. David Hume pointed out that the regularity of nature can't be logically proved without circular reasoning. But here are two quick reasons not to doubt induction. Number one, induction works. Science-based models are successful. Predictions are made by scientific models, and as the model is being presented, the authors ahead of time will tell you what would confirm or disconfirm their model. If our basic idea of how chemistry or physics works was flawed in some fundamental way, or wildly incomplete, then we shouldn't expect success in those fields. We would be finding ourselves running up blind alleys, hitting brick walls, and unable to manipulate the knowledge we've acquired to any interesting use. But this is not the case. If science stops working, then I'll stop believing in induction. Number two, nobody could possibly doubt induction in the aforementioned examples presented by believers. Induction isn't anything like Kierkegaard's leap of faith. We need to believe in induction in order to operate as agents in the world. The fact that you're sitting in a chair and believed it would hold you up, or took a step forward and didn't think the ground would open beneath you, or came to a green light and still thought it meant go, are three examples of this. There is simply no reason to doubt these things, and this isn't a logical proof, but induction works. Even if we can't logically prove that induction is reliable, that doesn't really change anything for us in the real world. How should I alter my behavior exactly? Should I really doubt that chairs will hold me up and ignore all previous experience with traffic lights? And this is not faith-based because if the evidence changed, I would change. Induction is not defined as the substance of things hoped for and the evidence for things not seen. The fact that I believe it genuinely is not the evidence that red still means stop. The evidence is all my prior experience, and I have no choice but to believe this. If my experience changes, then my beliefs will change. Here's the gist of what I say to religious people who play the faith card. I don't reject your beliefs so much as I reject the methods you used to arrive at those beliefs. I do not think that religious techniques for discovering reality are reliable in any way. Faith is a faulty way of knowing something, and this fact is demonstrable. The reason the universe is so radically different than the religious thought it was for millennia is because they were using methods for determining reality that are now known to be generators of error. Religion and science are both in the business of making claims about the nature of the universe, but they use entirely different methods for their truth-seeking projects and end up arriving at very different conclusions. Here are some of the tools in the religious toolkit for determining the nature of reality. faith, consulting ancient texts, divine revelation, prophecy, intuition, prayer, dreams, anecdotes, conventional wisdom, and subjective certainty. And here are a few of the epistemological techniques in science's toolkit for determining the nature of reality: skepticism, experimentation, replication, peer review, and making non-obvious, falsifiable predictions. As Jerry Coyne puts it, in religion, faith is a virtue, in science, faith is a vice. The bottom line is that faith is not a valid way of knowing something. It's essentially belief without or in spite of evidence. If you had evidence or good reasons, you wouldn't need any faith to believe it. I don't have faith in gravity or electricity. I think that saying you believe something on faith is really just an admission of defeat. It's not a complex theological move, it's a tacit admission that reason, science, and evidence are not on your side. If something were really true, why on earth would you need faith to believe it? You only need faith to believe things that aren't believable based on evidence and reason. The reason I bring up science in an episode about faith is because they're both ways of knowing. And science is not the only way of knowing something, it's just been a really successful way. You can't use science to come to contradictory conclusions. If something appears to be in conflict, a resolution and consensus will eventually be obtained with more science. Over time, scientists converge on the same answer. Religions, on the other hand, diverge and splinter off into new denominations. Science works the same everywhere, chemistry is the same in the US as it is in Nepal and South Africa, faith leads you to differing conclusions depending on your geography. And lastly, science works and faith does not.
If you base medicine on science, you cure people. If you base the design of planes on science, they fly. If you base the design of rockets on science, they reach the moon. It works. Bitches.
Those are all the counter-apologetics I have for you today. I want to thank listener and patron Sam Hall for his correspondence, which led me to creating this episode on faith sooner rather than later. Thank you, Sam. You can support this show on a per-episode basis at patreon.com/counter, where you can earn early access to every episode and access to bonus episodes. If you don't have the money to support on Patreon, but you still want to disappoint your parents, you can like us on our social media or leave a 5-star review on iTunes or wherever you can. Resources used for this episode can be found in the show notes. Our theme music was written and performed by the band Wailers. The song is called Magic Tricks and was used with permission. Thank you for joining me today. I've been Emerson Green, and I'll see you next time we meet to Counter Apologetics.